Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, in 903 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. The number, 713-780-3776. Former Texan Zach Fulton, retiring from the NFL. This is the fourth New York Giant that's retired in the last week. Joe Looney just retired. He said, that's it. Kelvin Benjamin, obviously, with his, he said, I've had enough after he was cut. And then Todd Davis, the linebacker, also retired. Is Joe Judge, is his camp so brutal that everybody's just like, I'm out. I'm done with this. I don't want to do this anymore. Apparently, Zach Fulton. Zach Fulton saw the writing on the wall. Maybe he wouldn't make
Zach football just team. Couldn't play anymore.
Yeah,
he was done. He was done when he got to the Texans. He can't stay healthy, and just frankly, he's a powerful guy who can drive people off the ball some, but he's a mess in pass protection, and I think the age is catching up with him. He's not a good body type guy, so he really can't afford to get out of shape where it really rolls downhill on him. He just didn't have anything left. That was another classic Texans addition. Hey, let's add an over-the-hill guard and just plug in let's put a Band-Aid on.
Yeah, we haven't talked much about it, but what about moving Titus Howard to guard?
They're playing him at guard.
Yeah, because, and Cully has explained it, we want to get our best five linemen on the field, and he's one of the best five. So if a tackle is better than the fifth guy is a tackle and he's better than a guard, then we want Howard inside so we can get that best five on the field.
So here's a little football insight for you. When he was drafted, there are teams who really love lean muscle mass, because lean muscle mass numbers tell you how much your body, what kind of your frame. We're all built different genetically. What is your frame able to carry? What is the good weight that your frame can carry? And his lean muscle mass numbers were relatively low for a tackle. It was more like a guard or a center, like a smaller guard or really a center. And the thought was, when he was at Was he Alabama State? Where was Titus Howard from? College. I'll bring it up here in a second. But when he was there, he played under 300 pounds. And he moved around pretty good.
It was Alabama State, wasn't it?
It might have been Alabama State. Yeah, I think I'm right. Yeah, he was Alabama State. Huh. So I thought, okay, well, he's going to have to prove he can stay at 305 pounds. He's going to have to prove he can get there and stay there. But at the same time, his lean muscle mass numbers are so relatively low that once he gets, you don't want him to get too heavy, because then he's carrying too much bad weight. Well, last year, he was carrying way too much bad weight, and it made him slower. I thought he looked slower as a run blocker. I thought he looked slower in pass protection. And that's one of the dangers, is that he's a player that is going to have to play at a little lighter weight, I think, to have good weight on him and not bad weight on him. Maybe the best spot for him will end up being guard in a kind of a move-oriented system, where you do more zone blocking, you let him maybe a little bit more, pin and pull type stuff where he can get on the move, because he's not going to be the strongest guy, but he, at the same time, you don't want him getting too heavy. And so maybe playing guard, he can play at a more natural weight. You would think he would at tackle, frankly, more than guard. But I think that's one thing to keep your eye on. But at this point, you just want him to be a good football player. You'd want him to play tackle, but if you're not sure he's going to be the best at tackle, then you got to find a place where he's going to be a plus football player, because you spent a first-round pick on him. And before you know it, this is already year three, John. You're going to have to make a decision on his fifth-year guarantee in year four. So you've got this year and one more year, and then you're going to have to crap or get off the pot on Titus Howard as a future second contract, and that's a little scary. So you better find out if he can be a really good guard, because if he can't be a really good tackle and he can be a good guard, then c'est la vie. Move him inside and let's get him at guard, if that's the case. But to get the five best on the field this year, When you look at big dude who came over from the Patriots.
Cannon.
Yeah, Marcus Cannon. When you look at Cannon, his best football is at tackle, so maybe that means Titus Howard is going to be guard. And then you have the two draft picks from the same draft class, Sharping and Howard at guard. You got the new guy, but a veteran in Justin Britt. You got the high-priced left tackle, and then you got the veteran right tackle. You know, maybe you can get something going with that offensive line.
I don't think it's going to be
bad. It's not the least talented line, but and I thought this was a big strength last year, too. And was it?
Well,
it was okay.
Did you have anybody that could hit a hole?
Honestly. I mean, I'm just going to point it out again. David Johnson averaged over 4 point whatever yards.
But mostly in the last two games.
Yeah, he's...
He definitely picked those numbers up.
No, and Max Sharping's not a good run blocker, and Laremy Tunsil's not a good run blocker. So one of the problems you have is your left side of your offensive line is not going to be great and from a run blocking standpoint. That's a concern.
Yeah.
Titus Howard, I think, is more talented as a run blocker. And hopefully Marcus Cannon can be as well. Now that Deshaun's not there, I care a lot less about the pass protection and a lot more about the run blocking. Because let's face it, if the Texans want to stay in games, they're going to have to control the clock and run the ball effectively. Because I just don't see Tyrod Taylor being able to carry you even to be competitive in a game. Do you think you can ride the shoulders of a guy who hasn't been a full-time starter since 2017?
And he holds the ball, takes a lot of sacks.
Yeah, he takes a ton of sacks. Actually, as much as Deshaun Watson did
from
a per-snap basis.
He led the league 1 year, so that... It was.
I hate when you lead the league in that category.
No, that's a bad category. I don't think there's any question about that. What is the center position going to be like? Is it going to be Justin Britt? Is it going to be Cole Toner? Is it going to be who's going to be? And apparently it's Justin Britt. I guess he's running the first team, but and what does Justin Britt have left in the tank too? I think the offensive line is actually. It's certainly not their worst position. It's middle of the pack as far as you got some decent. You got your best player on your team is part of it. You got a first round pick. Sharping was a second. You got a Justin Britt. I don't know what's left. And again, what's left in that take? A Marcus Cannon who was pretty good and knows how to win and actually has played pretty well. This is not a bad. It's not a bad position group.
Mm-hmm. It's on paper okay. It's on paper okay, but here's the question I would have. Justin Britt didn't play football last year. Marcus Cannon is getting older and was not at his best last year.
And he's injured now.
Yeah, on paper, it looks pretty good, but I got really excited about last year's group on paper, and they were underwhelming, I thought, by the standards that we had set for them.
Deshaun also led the league in passing. All right, it wasn't an overwhelming amount of sacks on him. They couldn't run the ball. They were the worst, but they didn't have a running. They had nobody that could hit a hole.
But now they have no Deshaun, so if you try to run the ball too much, you're going to catch 8-man fronts, and it's going to be a problem. Listen, the offense is going to be a problem this year. I don't think I'm saying anything that we don't know. But what does matter is, for me, Titus Howard and Max Sharping are super important to see them in year three become good pros. Sharping has to be consistent and get his confidence back. And I thought Sharping as a rookie was better than Titus Howard. And I thought Sharping had some really good tape at times, and then he lost his confidence last year.
Mm-hmm.
As far as have they been here 3 years, or is it just 2 years?
Who?
Sharping and...
This is year three.
Yeah, this is year three.
Yeah.
This is year three.
Yeah, this is year three.
And so,
now you got to make a decision after this season
on Sharping,
whether or not. Yeah,
I'm Sharping because Sharping only has a 4 year.
And then and you got to decide whether or not you're going to bring the fifth year on for Titus Howard. So
2019 draft. So they played 19-20. This will be 21, the third year. But if you have if Sharping becomes a player this year, and you say, okay, this is what we were hoping to see, and if Titus Howard, I don't care if it's tackle or guard, becomes a solid pro, then you know what? You got something you're building around, because Tunsil's going to be a good center. A good starter. Then all of a sudden you're saying, you know what? You got something now. You really have something with this offensive line. You can go find a right tackle. You really can. You can go find a right tackle, I think. You can find one in free agency if you need to. You can find centers all over the place. You can go draft one in a fifth round and find a starter. But getting, if you have two young guards to build around, the only thing that sucks is that, you know, you'd rather Sharping needs to play well by third contract because you don't want to have to pay him. You don't want him to finally play well in a contract year and you're like, golly, we did not get what we wanted out of the first 3 years. Now he plays 1 year and now we're going to have to give him decent money on a second contract. So I firmly believe you build teams in the trenches. And I know that's been the New England way too. When you look at their strategy over the years, you're going to win in the trenches. And I don't see it on the defensive line right now, but I do think you have a shot on the offensive line.
All right. When we come back, well, you're going to get a unique perspective that you won't get anywhere else about J.R. Richard if he can stay awake. We'll find out on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now we're talking about our man Michael over at Pete's Fine Meats. He is the best. This is the best butcher you will see. Now, not only, see, first time I went there, I got one of his burgers because how good they are.
Yeah.
He's got a little. He's got a little restaurant there as well. We just talk about the meats that he sells, but you can get a great burger and sandwiches and everything else.
Philly
there
steaks.
They'll make. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. And fries, by the way. Yeah.
Yep,
so
and fries and onion rings.
Yeah, and onion rings.
I stop in there and get lunch all the time. They open for. They have breakfast tacos. They do. Like you can go in the morning. And get whatever you want.
Which is why I don't understand him not bringing us any
John,
food,
we also we haven't talked about this yet. He's huge into deer processing also.
Yeah.
So you bring your deer in there during deer season. He processes it all out and gets it back to you. I know a lot of former Houston Astros, one that's a Hall of Famer, one that should be a Hall of Famer, have gone there and had deer processing done with Michael over at Pete's Fine Meat. So they do that too, by the way.
And they'll process the burgers right there in front of you. The tri-blend, you got to ask him for this. It's the best burger, I swear,
that I've ever had. Brisket, and I think sirloin is the third one.
And it's amazing. And how about the sale he's got a lot of times on the tomahawks?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So people go in there and they grab the top. You're not going to find steaks like this. And he's got the fillets and the ribeyes and the strips.
How thick do you want them cut? You call it.
Everything.
You know what? I want it this cut. Yeah. You know what? I want it thinner. That's what having a butcher is all about.
Oh, and chops and everything else. You're looking for the best meat. It's Pete's Fine Meats. It's right there on Richmond near Chimney Rock. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. Tell Michael that you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. As we've mentioned before, a unique perspective that you get nowhere else. I don't believe Gilbert calls any of the other shows, does he? Is this the only show?
He told me he calls Matt Thomas, too, now.
Oh, really?
That's what somebody told me, yeah.
Well, we got to ask him.
If he's two times in it.
Let's see if he's awake. Gilbert is here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, Gilbert.
Yeah. Hi, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
What's going on, Gilbert?
Good.
Do you call Matt Thomas's show, too?
I'm a little sad that J.R. Richard passed away.
Yeah, you're sad?
A little sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met him at the ball game a couple times.
You did? Was he nice to you?
Back in the 80s, you know.
Yeah. Was he nice?
What?
Was he nice to you?
Yeah, he was nice.
Yeah, he was nice. He was a big guy, right?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, you know.
Yeah, that's sad.
He was real sad, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a great asshole.
Well, I went to...
Last year, did you ever talk to the lady at the NFL Network? What's her name again?
Yeah, to get his cup.
Huh?
He wants you to get a
remember
coffee.
Remember Lance, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Gilbert.
Yeah, do you remember that lady name I want to meet, you know, get a rap from, what's her name again?
Oh, no, I don't. Colleen Wolf?
Who? Yeah, Colleen Wolf, yeah.
AJ Acosta, or?
How about?
Yeah, Sandra Gould.
Kay Adams?
get her autograph for you, please, okay?
Okay. Wait, hold on. What am I supposed to do?
What? What killer?
Get an autograph from Colleen Wolf. Autograph it for me to get
an
her.
Autograph.
Oh, you want an autograph from Colleen? I thought you forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When
we plan to go back up to NFL Network.
All right.
He never forgets about that.
Yeah, I know. I'll see if they still do the headshots, and I'll get her to autograph it to you. And, I'll work
should
on
be
that.
A comfortable
if I say that I'll do it, now this is going to be a thing for all of eternity
until you do it.
Yeah. So I'll see I'll see what I can do, Gilbert. I'm not sure that she does that, sends the autographs.
Well, tell her.
So I'll have to see. I can't promise you anything, but I'll tell her
how your life will be destroyed if this doesn't happen.
Hey, Gilbert, do you want a personal message from Colleen Wolf?
Yeah.
Go on Cameo. It's just $25.
No, he's not. Gilbert doesn't go on Cameo.
What are you talking about?
Like, would you like her to write something personal? About? Colleen Wolf, would you like her to write something personal to you?
Yes,
like,
yes.
Yeah,
best wishes
to Gilbert.
That's good.
Okay, best wishes to Gilbert.
And what are you doing later or something?
Yeah, keep your egg roll frying.
She's not going to write
that down.
Oh, that is pretty good.
Oh, but yeah, I think she's going to feel like, I'm sending an Asian person keep those egg rolls frying? I don't want to be canceled. I'm sorry. I'm not going to put that on
an autograph. Well, she might not. You'll be able to do that, Gilbert.
Hey, look what Colleen sent to an Asian man. Keep those egg rolls frying? What? This is an outrage. No. That's his catchphrase. No, it's not what it looks like.
It's exactly what it looks like.
It really is.
She can't write that, Gilbert.
All right, then. Well, tell him have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
He's kind of hyped today.
What? He's got... What?
That wasn't you, buddy.
No, that was not me. Okay. Not that time. He's got his mission. Well, he put you on a mission, and he expects you to complete it, soldier.
And how long ago was it that he asked you this and you still haven't done anything?
We just loosely discussed it. It just in passing.
No.
It was not
it's marching orders.
Well, in his mind it is.
Yeah. Lance, where are we on this?
I've got bigger fish to fry anyway.
I mean, what's with the delay?
Yeah. Where are we on this, Lance? I think I've told you about this before.
Give me a status update on the Colleen Wolf autograph.
Yeah. Where are we?
Keep those egg rolls frying.
No, she ain't writing that. She ain't writing that. So Lane Kiffin was on the Dan Patrick Show, and he had this to say. We've been talking about this a little bit here. I don't think it's going to be as great as everybody thinks. The transfer portal he's talking about. And you're going to have a ton of kids, just like we have had, like hundreds and hundreds of kids that go in with nowhere to go because the numbers don't work right. When you lose these kids, they don't give you new spots. You still only have 25 spots. So a school may only have one or two spots to take people, but all of these kids are leaving thinking they can go somewhere. And then you take them, let's say somebody took 10. Now it's only 15 guys out of high school you can take. That's 10 less high school players getting scholarships in one program. I think it's going to have some unintended consequences here. And I think it's even worse than that. When you got a lot of freshmen that are getting out that actually redshirted, and there's no wait time now, and there's not another, they don't waste a year, you've got a lot of kids that are disenchanted right away. You've got 4 years of eligibility with these kids. You're going to find, even if it's only 3 years of eligibility, that's getting a player from a bigger school. Oh, quite possibly, or a player that is obviously more mature than a high school player that you know more about, that you recruited before, that's taking up these high school scholarships. I think it's way worse than he's saying. We've seen one school, Texas State, I don't know that they have any high school kids in their class.
No, this is the new recruiting.
It is the new
recruiting. This is the new recruiting is you make a choice. Do you want to recruit? The teams who recruit five stars are going to recruit five stars. Teams like Texas State, they're going to go out and get sophomores and juniors. This is the new junior college.
Yes.
Only
it's longer.
And a lot of times they're better students and they don't have issues in their background like some JUCO kids do.
Right.
Like it gives you a chance to say, okay, we get this kid for 3 years, not 2 years. There is no difficulty with the schoolwork stuff. Like we've seen plenty of last chance you. That's an issue.
Let me ask you a question. You get a high school kid that's not offered by big schools, right? Or do you get a kid that's transferring from Penn State or Tennessee or Florida State or somewhere else that was recruited, that was given a scholarship, that's disgruntled, that was disenchanted with that school, and he still has 3 years of eligibility left. A kid that you had no chance of getting before. Zero chance of getting, ever.
And you're talking about the smaller schools. Oklahoma's previous class, they took 16 high school kids. The number's 25, depending on whether you're pushing kids forward, early enrollees, whatever. But the number's generally 25. They took 16 high school kids, took 8 transfers, 5 of them directly from the SEC. So, like, if you're in the state of Oklahoma, let's say your dream is to go to Oklahoma, you're in the state of Oklahoma. Oklahoma's like, I can take this mid 3-star safety who we kind of like, or I can go take the safety that was a 4- or 5-star recruit from Tennessee who wants out. And that's what they decided to do.
Absolutely. And it's going to be, I can see the smaller, and that's Oklahoma. So yeah, they lost out 9 kids that would normally, they would normally recruit.
High school kids.
High school kids, or maybe 8 or 7.
Depending on how big the class. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, before you would get some JUCOs. But now, and listen, that's not going to be unusual. I'm telling you, I think the average with how many big name kids the smaller schools are going to take, the average high school, average high school scholarship for Division I schools is going to be more like 12 or so in that neighborhood. So you high school kids are now losing out. You better be a damn good player right now if you're going to get a scholarship.
Or stop messing around with, I want to go through the recruiting process and see how things go. You might just want to take the best offer you get early, because you don't know what a school might do later on if, like, a guy gets hurt or
whatever. And these are not five. We're not talking about the highest rated.
Like the 3-star kids,
you might.
They're not the ones that are going to get squeezed on this.
You might want to jump on the first one you like, because, for example, Oklahoma, they're in it to win it this year, so they took ready made players. If you really liked a smaller school, let's say SMU comes calling. SMU will take a transfer from a bigger school. You might want to just get the offer now and get yourself in the class.
The threat, because we went through this, the threat was, you know, hey, you better make your decision up, because we're going to pull that scholarship. We're going to get somebody else if you don't want it. Guess what? You better commit and you better sign in December.
And don't take visits with other places. Don't give them the opportunity to think you may be shaky. Let it be known you're locked in.
That's it. This is squarely swung it toward advantage schools now, as opposed to high school players who would, I'm going to do the two hats. I'm going to really.
Unless you are one of those kids who it doesn't matter, don't play the game.
No.
Find your best school, lock it in, take those summer visits, and get yourself in a class.
But, you know, I think it's going to be kind of like basketball, where some teams, you know, covet 4-year type guys, and some teams say,
but you're still going to get 4-year type guys.
No, but I mean, you there's different philosophies you could use. I think it's going to really be interesting to see, because if you're not recruiting good high school players, if more teams aren't recruiting good high school players, then that means another team may say, oh, great. That means there's better high school players for us to recruit now than we would have had access to, because those guys are getting squeezed out.
Well, the 3-star is still a 3-star, though.
Right, but portal guys who get, and this is really going to be more affect smaller schools, I think, or middle level schools. The best schools, I don't think it's going to be as impactful for the top Power 5 conferences. You're either going to get a kid or you're not. But teams who, I do think, there's going to be times where a lot of schools never wanted to get into the junior college game. They didn't like that model. But I think the portal game is different.
It is.
Now, some kids go into the portal and it's a black hole and they made the biggest mistakes in their life and they no longer have a college scholarship.
Yep. Yep.
That happens too. And that's going to happen to over the years, thousands of kids. But at the same time, it really gives, it's an a la carte, it's almost a buffet / a la carte option for, let's say, Dana Holgorsen could say, man, a tough couple of first 2 years. Instead of building with this strong recruiting class, I'm going to go out and get a couple players that I really like from the high school ranks, but I'm going to address this position right now off the portal. It gives you that chance to really mix and match your recruiting efforts.
Absolutely.
It really does. I mean, you have to think about this. How are we going to approach this? What is our approach going to be? And for coaches on the hot seat, they're going to go portal. Oh. For coaches just coming into a program, they're going to want to recruit classes to build that continuity.
I think it matters about what your program is considered. Like at Wisconsin, they're considered a developmental program, as good as they've been over the years. And their recruiting has taken an uptick under Paul Chryst, but they haven't been known as a team that's, hey, we'll get the 4 or 5 star freshman. That guy will play right away. Their offensive linemen are generally 3 or 4 year guys in the program before they start. That's a developmental program who probably won't lean on the portal just because of how they've been built. Another program who needs to win quickly, like at Auburn, like if what's the guy's name? Brian Harsin. Things don't go well early. I don't know if he's going to get the opportunity to just build a program. He's going to have to go find talents that he may not be sure about and bring them in and see if he can win big early.
Yep.
Just depends on what your program is based off.
Sonny Dykes turned SMU around in a hurry. You know how he did it? Transfers. I mean,
yeah, a guy who couldn't play at Texas, Shane Buechele.
Right now, change the fortunes of the program. This is going to be the case with, if you think the coaches that are on the hot seat are going to wait for 4 year high school kids, they may take guys that have got a year left or two years left because they got to win now. 9:30 ESPN 97.5. What about kids? Cars for Kids? They win every day.
Cars for Kids, you know, here's how they win. They partner with a group like Houston Can Academy. Now, carsforkids.org is the company, but they do a great job in every market of partnering with the company that they feel like can really set the mission off. And the mission is helping in the community. And Cars for Kids is partnered with Houston Can Academy, who is out there getting kids a second chance at a diploma. And one of the ways they do that is by utilizing your donations. What's the best way you can donate? By giving away your car or truck or SUV or motorcycle. But it's not just giving it away. You're getting a tax write-off. And they don't even care if it's working or not working. It might be a vehicle that doesn't work. In many cases, that is the case. But they'll come out there, they'll haul it off for you. They do title search and transfer, so you don't have to worry about that. They make it super easy for you, hassle-free. And once you have them come out there and haul that off for you, here's what I can tell you is going to happen. You're going to get a $50 gift card from Visa when you mention ESPN 97.5, and you're going to get a tax write-off. How sweet is that? You get a write-off the car and not the kid. Go to the website for more information at carsforkids.org and get involved today. Carsforkids.org.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Simone Biles is out of Texans practice watching her man, Jonathan Owens. Jonathan Owens spoke yesterday about Simone and how difficult it was watching her not be able to compete, but how proud he was of her and all that stuff, all that great stuff. Deshaun Watson not practicing again today. Deshaun Watson has an ankle and a calf problem, and so he's unable to get out there because it's just too much to overcome, those lower leg injuries. So, RIP Deshaun and that calf and ankle problem he's got going on there. So hopefully he'll be able to get better and get back out there so that the Texans can have their quarterback back out there. So hopefully that'll happen. And unfortunately, the situation has not changed. Deshaun Watson I don't know if he's in a walking boot or if he's got one of those. Didn't Lance have one of those scooters for his one leg
to keep his leg elevated?
Never had a freaking scooter.
Didn't he have one of those?
Does Deshaun have one?
Never had one of those.
Deshaun
walking.
Might have one.
I refused it at Mobile. They said, "Would you like for us to do the knee scooter where you can put your knee in it?" And like, no, I'm not going to let people see me in a knee scooter.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
No. So maybe that's what Deshaun has now because of this overwhelming injury that's keeping him out of practice and making him. Play safety, fourth string safety. Maybe that's
my prayers are with Deshaun for a healthy. I mean, for a uh, an ex, for an expeditious healing to his lower extremities. Whatever happened to it that is keeping him out of practices this many days?
Yeah.
It sounds serious. Like I said, thoughts and prayers are with Deshaun.
And by the way, we had a listener. There are no tickets for training camp out there. The Texans fans are still squarely behind this team. Just look at camp and look at all those fans that are. Yeah, the Texans sent out a video today. This place used to be packed.
No, but it's true, though. They don't let fans come out.
No.
Unless you have tickets, and that's only season ticket holders.
Well, now they're all new, so you'd think that they would be excited about it.
A lot of people have to work.
Yeah, right. Because to make money to pay for those tickets.
Yeah, it's 9:30. Like, you're not going to have the... Yeah, you're right. It used to be... If you open it up to everybody, then... And you used to be able to get them from an HEB, like...
Well, you know, you can still buy them on the secondary market. You can still buy them on the secondary
market. Buy what?
Buy tickets to training camp.
Buy tickets off a secondary market to a Texas training camp.
Well, that's
that's good.
There are no tickets out there. The fans are still squarely
Who's
behind.
Buying it from a secondary market?
Dude.
Show me the secondary market where you see camp tickets listed.
And listen, I hate bashing them all the time. And we're trying to make it. And listen, yesterday we looked at the possibility of them actually winning four games out of six, the first six.
Said that out loud.
We did say it out loud. And we had people laughing at us and stuff. Listen, I didn't get a pizza from them. Although right now, if you buy four tickets to the opener, you can get pizzas
and
Cokes.
Sure.
Because
that's pretty sweet.
Because ticket sales are so piss poor that they have to have a ticket plan where
you
give away pizzas.
You were good and positive for a while, and then you drop the piss poor.
Here's the deal: is that it's unfortunately it's never been this dour the outlook for this organization, and it starts at the top. So don't tell me there's all these people that are just clamoring. Simone Biles was in the crowd, and there was nobody around her. There was literally no one around her. Now, they may have put Simone Biles in another area away from everyone.
Yeah, my guess is they didn't let anyone, really.
No, they don't want anybody near her. But listen, the stands there with the people in them, it used to be packed. And I'm looking at Terrence Mitchell walking on the field, and... There are very few people there. So listen, neither here nor there. The Texans are in a bad place, and hopefully Nick Caserio can get them out of this place. Hopefully Nick Caserio. When asked how often the two talk, David Culley said, "We talk all the time." What do you mean? How often do we talk?
Yeah, it's a daily conversation about contracts, about injuries, about performance. They have daily meetings.
Yeah.
Listen, the Texans aren't going to run like the goofball organization that they were previously with Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby. It's going to be run like a regular organization. We just, we're just disappointed that they have such a bad roster. And they're not in a good place, okay? But I do think Nick Caserio knows the right way to do things. Will he do them? Will he make good evaluations, good pickups? I don't know about that, but I think he understands contracts. He understands culture. There's a lot of reasons to like Nick Caserio being at the helm. Number one, he's not Bill O'Brien. Right off the bat, that's a huge advantage. But number two, I think he knows what it's supposed to look like for sure. The question is going to be, the Texans right now, they're not at a point where you're saying, okay, well, how can you fine-tune this thing to get you where you need to go? No, he's now a contractor who has to build from the ground floor up. He has to build an entire organization out. That's how bad they screwed this thing up. So is he the architect of a build-out, and is he the type of contractor that can build what needs to be built? That's what we're trying to find out. But remember, the Houston Texans talk has nothing to do with Packer talk or Ravens talk or Steelers talk or Rams talk. These are teams that are having regular conversations like we've had in the past. We can't have those conversations anymore. We have to talk about things like, do you hang on to Laremy Tunsil, or do you try to deal him off and get something? When would you ever have conversations like that? Well, when you're in a situation like the Texans are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if anyone's having conversations about the lawsuits pending against their starting quarterback and whether or not criminal charges are going to be filed. That's not something Jared Goff and the Lions are talking about. That's not a conversation Jalen Hurts and the Eagles fans are having. No one in Dallas is talking about Dak and any of that stuff. that's specifically this franchise having to deal with all this kind of stuff. And you're right, it is dour. But at the same time, you have to remain fan-friendly. And in fact, you have to go over the top.
Well, they are now. They are going over to the top. Actually, the Texans are more probably more
like cutting off practice.
To encourage people to buy season tickets. They had to incentivize it. If you buy season tickets, you get to come to practice. Okay, they have to incentivize.
No, you're right. You're right. That is something they've never done. Well,
they've never had to do.
That tells you that's not because they said, you know what, let's do something that is more fan friendly. They're like, let's do something to sell these tickets. Yeah, that's what it is.
That's absolutely what it is. So this just came out, franchise valuations from yesterday. Joseph Pampliano just put it out there. Hey.
They call him Joey P.
Joey P put it out there. Cowboys remain the most valuable franchise at $6.5 billion.
Plus 6.5 B?
Yeah. Plus 14% year-over-year change. So, listen, even Cal McNair can't screw this up. It wasn't that long ago, as a matter of fact. The Cowboys were the most valuable, the Redskins were second, and the Texans were the third valuable.
You can't go backwards. If you're a organization, unless the whole league goes backwards, you can't.
The worst year-over-year percentage change was plus 10%, and that was the San Francisco 49ers. They only improved their value 10%. Everybody else, 20%, 14%, 18%. The Texans, year-over-year, plus 12%, despite the season ticket scourge, despite, I would imagine, a lot of corporations not re-upping and advertising for the Houston Texans. But the Texans have fallen. For not that long ago, they were the third most valuable franchise. They are now 11th. 11th. It goes Cowboys, Patriots, Giants, Rams. The Rams have moved in because of their stadium deal in large part.
Yeah, that's 100%.
The Washington football team, which was second for years and years, up 20% year over year, yet they fall into fifth place. The 49ers, the Bears, the Jets, the Eagles, the Broncos, and then the Texans at $3.7 billion. So not even Cal can screw this up. I don't know that I would trust Cal with any business, let alone the Houston Texans business. Certainly,
if his brother Corey took over, I actually think that would create excitement in the city. Excitement may be a strong word. I would say maybe hope.
Yeah,
and I feel bad. I'm sorry, Cal. Everything I've ever heard is Cal's a super nice guy. He's not fit to run an NFL franchise. I don't think he has enough ass kicker in him to tell people no when he needs to. I just think he got run over, and now his organization is in the toilet because he got run over a 2-year span by two guys, Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien. But I think if his brother took over, and I mean this in all seriousness, I know for me at least, I would start to have a little more hope because I do think it starts at the top.
Is his name Corey or Cooper?
No, it's not Cooper. I thought it was Corey.
Is it Corey? What's Del? What's Decal's brother's name? It's not Corey. Is it Cooper?
No, he's not one of the Manning brothers. Cuppa McNair.
Is that Cuppa? What's his name? Isn't Corey?
It's not Corey. Does it start?
No,
with,
it's not Corey.
No, it's not Corey.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like an owner's name either. You sure it's not Corey? No, is it? It starts with a C though, right?
It's Tim or something.
It's not Tim.
It's D Tim.
Well, let me Google. Hold on.
The D good, Joe.
The I'm good looking McNair. It up, but it's not. You can't Google the good McNair.
The good McNair. The smart McNair. Put that in.
It's Carrie.
Yeah.
Not Corey.
But I was pretty close, though. McNair.
I think Koopa was close.
Koopa McNair.
So if Carrie McNair took over, wouldn't you have a little more hope?
Yes. Absolutely.
I would.
If you want to know the truth, I think Deshaun would stay.
I'm going to tell you something. Dustin has, when we come back, there is a tweet that I think is, I may adapt.
Your life?
One of our listeners has tweeted something that I think could be important to the way that we view the Texans moving forward and really might change your vantage point moving forward might make you more positive. Okay. Can I tell you when we come back?
When we come back.
All right. That's called a tease. Bam.
You don't need to dab.
You don't dab on a tease.
You don't have to dab with a tease.
Good.
Damn.
God, who Cam, it's like Cam.
Switch your job.
It's like Cam dabbing after
you caught a 4-yard pass.
Hey Cam,
and you did a first down
first
signal.
Down. Hey Cam,
first
you,
down.
Hey
and
Cam,
you dab in the direction.
Hey Cam Zuerlein, you completed a 5-yard hook. Yeah. You gonna dab? Is that what you're doing?
That's what you're. That's your job.
Yeah.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zuerlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance's last segment of the day, of the week here
maybe year
on the show.
Of the year?
Well, you're yeah, because something. You're leaving.
If I hike
where,
and
where
fall
are you
off
going now?
I'll just be at my house dabbing on people.
What a way to spend a weekend.
You're going to sit outside your house dabbing?
When people drive by in the street, I'll just go bang, bang, and hit them with different dabs. Let's see how that works.
You know,
it's called vacation dabs.
I don't like a lot of things you do, but that's the worst.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, but that's the one exception.
No.
I love when you dab.
No, why?
Oh, I thought that's what you're going to say.
Haven't you noticed that it's met with disdain every time you do it?
It's why I do it. It makes my kids mad when I dab on
it
them.
It should.
You know, my favorite thing is when I show them a left-handed, you know what I love about Michael Brantley? When he gets his hands right here and he throws them at the ball, and then when I end, I'm in a dab, and the kids didn't even see the dab coming. That's my favorite thing.
Do you think your
kids... It's so corny that it pisses people off, and that's why I do.
Now, your kids love you. Just that's built in
they
because...
I'd say like.
You think they... No, love is like...
Some love, some like.
You,
yeah.
I say they love you because that's just how it is.
I think Alec likes me.
But do you think they actually like you?
No, they love...
They love you because you have to.
They love
to.
Nicole.
Yeah.
And they're it's no, iffy
think,
with Lance.
I think they love Lance, but well, that doesn't mean they like him.
No, but I tell you, I have kid power rankings. I think they have parent power rankings.
Yeah, too. Oh, yeah. And you're second on every one of their lists.
No, not always.
I can't believe that.
That's not true. Yeah, no.
No.
Depends on if their mom's mad. Mason, I'm number one on Mason's list.
Oh, yeah?
I'm ahead of Nicole. Yeah, it's a lock.
Oh.
Alec, I'll never take over the top spot. That's her little baby.
What if you buy him a car?
My daughter, I'll never take over that spot either. Snacks can flip flop.
I'm
way.
Only number one on Steffi's list because Wendy's not her mother.
I knew he was going to say that. You win by default.
Yeah, that's okay. The only one. That's the only one.
Not even the boy who you took everywhere around the state to play ball.
He loves his mom.
He got his talent from you at least because you were a quarterback. Not even the boy, huh?
Yeah.
It's harder to get them.
Yeah. It's
not, but Frankie has to be yours, right?
No, she talks to her mother every day.
Yeah, but then she threatens to like.
And she, Wendy buys her everything. Frankie's easily bought. Okay.
Okay. She would have been a great recruit.
Yes. No. But Wendy's Alabama.
And then she would have decommitted after she got something and said, respect my decision.
No, Frankie would have been like, oh, look, I'll unofficially visit you, but it's going
to
cost $10,000.
Yeah.
And that's just for the visit.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to commit yet.
Yeah, yeah. So, what is the tweet that you had? Dustin.
This is a pretty good tweet. I think this is an interesting way of looking at the team. He said, "I've been saying the best way to think about the Texans is as if they are an expansion team. Year one, just had your expansion draft. You got Shaq Lawson and Desmond King and Terrence Mitchell." And Marcus Cannon and Mark Ingram, you just had your expansion draft, and this is what you got. Now you got to build. You know what? That's actually brilliant because you and I both remember their expansion draft, and it was something like this, where you got veteran players from other teams that you knew of, but they weren't the best players. In some cases, they were a little bit older. In some cases, they were solid, although I would argue
Marcus Coleman and Aaron Glenn.
When the Texans expansion draft was substantially better
than
this. But it does have, with this many he's had 30 free agent signings, with this many free agent signings, it does have the feel of like an expansion draft. Like, oh, he was at the Chargers. Oh, he was with the the Miami Dolphins. Oh, he was with the Ravens. Oh, he was with the Bills. Oh, he was with. It's got some of that expansion draft
Patriots.
Feel.
So he was with the Patriots.
Yeah, a lot of it.
He was with the Patriots.
But you know what? If I look at this as though it's an expansion team and they're building from the expansion team, maybe that's a better way. Maybe it can soothe my soul a little bit. And I say, okay, you know what? Mm. It's a process. Let's just see what happens.
I guess. But to me, there was so much more excitement about that and around that team and fervor and return of football. And this is just about the opposite of that, in that we've been supporting this for 20 years now. We've been giving our money, and now we're back to expansion status. I think it could be the other way around.
But that's what it is, though.
Yeah.
What Dustin's saying is, well, I'm sorry, but this is what it is. You're an expansion team now. It is true.
It is what it is, but it's a little.
I'm not saying it's not disappointing.
Do you remember back in 2002? Do you think this city has the same excitement as the city did then?
No. It's not the same situation.
It's not the same situation.
I'm just saying you're in the same predicament.
Yeah. Now, those of you that are new and you just picked up on the Texans recently, you weren't here for 2002, so you know what that excitement was like. This, you could look at it this way, but those of us that all went through that 2002 with the new team coming in, we know what expansion excitement is about. This ain't it. This ain't it. Now, it is bad football like an expansion team. Yeah, there's that. But, yeah, can we start over and change the name if it's an expansion team?
The color scheme, something.
Everything about it.
Wouldn't that really, if you're an expansion team, which your roster is expansion-y, Tyrod Taylor is the perfect expansion quarterback. Like, oh, he's been a starter at places. There's some things he does well, but you know, his career record's 24-21 and one as a starter, but you know, he hadn't started for 4 years. This is when Dustin said that, I realized, yeah, you know what? That's where they are. Their expansion status. Mm-hmm. And guess what you get with expansion teams? You'll get guys who play now but are not your long term players. They're not core players. The Texans only had a few core players. Seth Payne was one. Gary Walker, he wasn't even a long-term player here. Ryan Young wasn't. Steve McKinney was. But you don't get long-term expansion teams. The players they get, they're not long-term solutions. And most of these guys are not going to be long-term solutions for the Texans. But that also tells you how long the wait could be.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't a Jacksonville Jaguar thing where you had a sweet expansion draft and you were in an AFC championship game before you knew it. This is going to be a long build out as an expansion franchise, and it needs to be met with exceptional free agency moves, smart free agency moves, and maybe more, and most importantly, really good drafts. I thought this year's draft stunk for the Texans. I didn't like the way Nick Cassero handled it at all, but that's okay because that happens, and I don't think that's going to define him and his legacy with the Texans. I think once you have first and second round picks, you find out what you can truly do. And they finally will have that this year, and they'll probably have multiple first-round picks.
Before you go and start your dad vacation, Considering how he was hired, Cassero, considering how David Culley was hired, considering who helped do all the hiring, and considering who's the overlord of the entire organization, what is the likelihood of this particular era of Texas football turning out well?
What do you mean by the era?
Before they have to make a revamp it again by firing everyone involved.
Will this be a successful revamp?
Okay, are you
revamp?
Saying the Cassero? Because I'm not going to say the Culley era. You mean the Cassero era?
He's going to be the coach here, so how long?
He's not going to outlast Cassero.
This revamp could be successful even without David Culley's stand.
Yes.
But if you're firing the coach, that means at least like multiple years of it being bad. So how long?
Multiple would mean just multiple 2 years. I think they could get out of him in 2.
It's multiple years regardless.
Sure, but at least if you're firing the coach, there's been probably no improvement.
Will Cassero last more than his 5 years?
Yes.
Is it going to be a good 5 years?
I think Cassero lasts a minimum.
That doesn't mean.
I think he goes a minimum of 8 years.
8 years.
And maybe a decade. Yeah, Rick Smith was here 13 years.
How many of those years?
Do you realize that? Rick was here 13
okay,
years.
Okay, let me ask you this.
I'd be shocked if Cully's not, if Kasera's not here over a decade.
Does he earn the extension or is he given?
Well, that's irrelevant.
No, I'm asking you.
That's irrelevant.
No, it's not, because if he earns it, that means things are going well. If he doesn't earn it, that means it's just the Texans and their whatever.
So that's how they do business.
Will he earn
the
extension?
Okay, so let me answer that question by explaining how I think an extension could go. After 3 years, the Texans are terrible this year, then they're better in 2022. Then in 2023, maybe they approach 500. And you know what? We're on the right track. New extension. Boom. Let's add 4 more years. So
is
nice.
That a deserved extension?
It's like a college football. I could see Jack Easterby giving him, talking Cal into an extension for him, or especially if Cal's still in place, Bob Lamont, the agent for both Jack and Nick Caserio, running games on the owner and basically pulling a college football coach move, which you know what that looks like, Dale. Boy, you're in the middle. You're in the first year, second year of a 5-year contract. Let's fire 4 more years on that thing.
Okay, you're answering, but you're not answering. What's the likelihood of this? Well, the Nick Caserio era, if you want me to define it more, as being successful.
I think he will get an extension before we have an answer. Honestly, is what I think. And what is your and what do you consider successful? Because I feel like Bill O'Brien had success, but we never felt like that was great success.
Well, because
it didn't feel successful, but it was. Right? It was successful.
Here's a good question before you go. Who wins, the 2002 Texans or the 2021 Texans?
If I'm being real about this, I think the two Texans win.
They got a better defense.
Because look at your secondary.
Yes, their defense was good.
You had Darren Sharper, Gary Walker, Seth Payne. You had a pass rusher, too, that I'm forgetting. You had Marcus Coleman, Aaron Glenn. Dude, it's honestly, this offense wouldn't score 17 points on them.
They wouldn't get first downs on the 0-2 defense.
Jamie Sharper.
Well, Kylie Wong.
Right?
Was Darren Sharper. No, Jamie Sharper.
Jamie Sharper.
Kylie
Don't
Wong.
Call him Darren.
Yeah, not Darren. Kylie Wong. Honestly, that defense is better than this defense.
Oh, that defense was good.
And that offense
was awful.
You know, not great, but they had
Corey Bradford.
Andre Johnson.
Corey Bradford, Billy Miller, David Carr.
Push.
They had Jonathan Wells.
Who had the better field goal kicker? Because that might be the difference.
Push.
Chris Brown or Kaimi?
Chris Brown.
I think it could be like a 12-9 game. Kaimi misses two, and the 0-2 team wins.
It could well be. It could well be. All right. So what is it?
Lance, you're actually leaving?
Yeah.
Bye, bitch.
Mm. Oh, he's dabbing on you. Dabbed on you.
Bang! What an embarrassing display by a grown man.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Hey, sweetie. Your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.